In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. One scholar believes, and I can see where he's coming from, that the Beatitudes are like a stepladder, right? It's an eight-step stepladder, and each one builds on the next one. If you got the first one, and then the second one, and the third one, and all the way up to the eighth one. And so in approaching both the first and the eighth today, we're kind of doing the first rung and the very top in the same Sunday. So we'll see what we can do with that. Both of them, and its book ended, and so you wonder at the writer of Matthew if he wasn't taking a little poetic justice, that the first beatitude and the last beatitude both end with the same inheritance, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But it's interesting that both things point to the same goal. In the first one, you have, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Which begs the question, like I was saying to the kids, what is so good about being poor? More than that, what is so good about being poor in spirit? Well, when approaching that question, I think about people who've been on hard times, right? You take the biblical example of poor. You've got nothing. You've got no security. You've got no income. You've got no home. Think about the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness, right? You have nothing. But when you have nothing, maybe perhaps the blessing there is that you therefore cannot take things for granted. Ah! If you are poor, then things that you do have mean more to you. Put that definition of poor into poor in spirit. If you are poor in spirit, you've fallen on hard times as far as your life with Christ, right? I think about the times where I could define, looking back, I could define that part of my life as being where I was poor in spirit. It's those times where either I could not hear God or I was not listening to God. Amen? It's those times when I felt like I was walking alone, like that poor guy in the footprints in the sand where he saw only one set of footprints, right? He was poor. You're poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that you are looking down. And it's like being in a barrel, right? It's like being in the bottom of the barrel. You do not see the glory of God until you look upward. When you find yourself poor in spirit, and when you find your place where you are down on the bottom and you are looking at the dirt, it is then that you can turn around and look up. And so those times when we are poor in spirit are those times when we have to turn around and say, okay, God, I can't do it without you. I've tried to do this on my own, and it's not working. Think about John of Patmos when he was writing Revelation, right? You have to remember, John was an exile. John was writing to people who were not in exile, like he was, but he was imprisoned on an island in the middle of the sea. He could not go anywhere. His best way of describing what he could see was to write to the fellow followers on the mainland. And so when he writes this and he says, after all, you say, I'm rich and I've grown wealthy and I don't need a thing. You don't realize that you are miserable, pathetic, poor, blind, and naked. You're blinded to it. And he goes on and he says, my advice is that you buy gold from me that has been purified by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothing to wear so that your nakedness won't be shamefully exposed, and an ointment to put on your eyes so that you may see. Is he actually talking about a linen robe and a hunk of gold and some, you know, Visine tears or whatever the case may be? No. But is he calling for people to pay attention to what's really going on? Yes. When you are wrapped up in think, and it's not just your earthly things, but you, when we get into that mode, and I've been there, and I'm sure we all have, when we get into that mode where we think we've got it all together, and we think we have all the answers, are we looking for our strength from God, or are we leaning onto our own understanding? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, because they get it. They understand. I need Jesus in my life. I need God in my life to direct my path. Springboard to the other end of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for again, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have the reading from Acts. Acts is post-Jesus' ascension, so he's not walking around the earth anymore, right? He's died, he's risen, he's been among his people, he's ascended to the heaven to sit on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, right? Acts is when the apostles, formerly the disciples, minus Judas, plus my brain escapes me, but anyway, the apostles are out doing what Jesus told them to do. Go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Proclaim the word you know. Share the truth you know and hold true, that he who was crucified is risen, right? And what did they tell them? In no uncertain terms, we demand that you not teach in his, Jesus, name. And look at you. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And you are determined to hold us responsible for this man's death. Which in Pastor Christina translation is, we crucified him, you stay in your place. Right? We crucified him. We locked him in the tomb. I don't know what you people did with his body, but enough of this is enough. Be silent. Remember what Jesus said on that first Palm Sunday? You remember that scripture reading? When they said, Master, rebuke your disciples. And what did Jesus say? That's right. If these were silent, I tell you, even the stones would shout out. If somebody's trying to get you to hush, you must be telling the right story, right? If somebody's trying to tell you to not teach in the name of the risen Savior, you must be doing something right. Here's a truth I know. That Christmas Eve scripture reading we read, that we read again on Easter Sunday, and that I hold fast, is that the light came and the darkness could not overcome it. And every time the darkness tries to step in and silence our voices when we are proclaiming the good news of the gospel, every time we anger the evil one's presence in the world by holding fast to the truth we know, we're inheriting the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because we're doing what we were told to do. But here's the caveat. The only way, at least from where I stand, the only way we can pull that off and to preach and to show and to tell the good news we know without some ulterior motive in what's in it for me is to recognize that we are poor in spirit. To recognize that if it were not for God's presence in our lives, there's not a thing we could do. Because, oh Lord, who could stand? It's a beautiful thing. It really, truly is a beautiful thing. And they sound horrible. Blessed are you when you are poor in spirit and down on your luck, and blessed are you when people are trying to silence you and persecuting you. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's a beautiful thing. Because when we're showing that we are Christians through our love, right? when we are sharing the truth we know, when we are preaching Christ risen, not just with our words, but also with our actions. Inevitably, Satan will try to silence you. Evil will try to silence you. If you're holding fast to the fact that you need Jesus and you need God in every last ounce of your life, if you put on that armor that is the joyful noise and the joyful news that we know because our Redeemer lives, if you put that on every day, sure as you put your slippers on and make a cup of coffee, if you live that truth, no matter who might try to tear you down, no matter what things might come along your path that try to shove you off of where God is leading, no matter what mess you get tangled up in, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Is it easy? No. It falls in the land of, if it was easy, anybody could do it. But what does Scripture also tell us about that? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the greatest responsibility we as faithful people have ever been given, and that is to hold on to it. It's the gift that keeps giving, because in our holding on to our faith, we expose our faith to other people, and we share it with other people, and it grows and it grows and it grows. But only if you are doing what you are supposed to be doing with God surrounding the whole thing. So blessed are the poor in spirit. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.